States. Incidentally, in that ball game yesterday, Jocko Conlon couldn't stand the high temperatures and had to be removed from the game in the fourth inning of the first game. So that's the story as we about get underway here. The starting pitcher's now in the dugouts, and we'll be having baseball your way. Al Jackson, the left-hander going for the New York Mets. His record on the season, 2 wins and 7 losses, and pitching for the Colt 45s, Dick Turk Farrell, a big, strong right-hander with a record of 4 wins and 5 losses. Many batters in the National League claim that Farrell is the hardest throwing pitcher in the National League. As we look over the center field fence, you can see the skyline of downtown Houston. Very pretty sight. The lights here at the ballpark, not quite as good as they might be, and it has been criticized, but of course, as this is a temporary stadium, you can't always have the best. It is well lighted, though, and we're having baseball coming up very soon. Now the Colt 45s go on the field. Defensively, it will be in the outfield, Carl Warwick in left, Jim Busby in center field, and in right field, Jim Pendleton. First baseman, Norm Larker. At second base, Joe Amalfitano. Playing third base, Bob Aspermonte. The shortstop, Bob Lillis. And the catcher will be Merritt Renew. And now going out to the pitcher's mound to take his warm-up tosses, Dick Farrell. Richie Ashburn, the leadoff batter in the on-deck circle, and he's all set to start. It'll be Ashburn, Edo Chacon, and Cliff Cook in that order, 1-2-3. The wind is blowing out towards center field, and generally the wind blows across from right field to left field. There have only been 3 home runs hit into the right field bleacher area over the fence. And this ballpark's sort of the reverse of Candlestick Park, where the wind blows towards right field in from left field. Scoreboard area is located in straightaway center field, a small scoreboard. And they have the scores of the National and American League over in the left center field area. Incidentally, the Pittsburgh Pirates defeated the Chicago Cubs in a day game today, 6-1. The Pirates 6 runs, 12 hits, 1 error. The Cubs 1 run, 7 hits, no errors. Winning pitcher was Gibbon for Pittsburgh, and Cardwell, the starter, was a loser for the Chicago Cubs. Dick Stewart had 2 home runs in that ball game, and he drove in a total of 3 runs. And now, ladies and gentlemen, our national anthem. The name would smell as sweet. That may be true, but this I know to be true. A beer by any other name but Rheingold just won't taste as good. And it's really very simple. 2 words tell you why. Extra dry. Yes, Rheingold's way of brewing is long, slow, and costly, but it pays off in taste every time. Rheingold's flavor comes through brisk and bright and clean. That's what makes Rheingold New York's largest selling beer. The happy choice of millions. So look, why not enjoy the extra refreshment that comes with wonderful Rheingold beer? Join the millions who say, my beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. Do it right now. Enjoy a glass of Rheingold along with the game. And also for your enjoyment along with the ball game, here is Lindsey Nelson.
Right Ralph Kiner, Richie Ashburn, standing in the batter's box, waiting for the first pitch of the ball game from right-hander Dick Farrell. He's under the windup. Here's the pitch, and it's high away for ball one as the game is underway at Colt Stadium in Houston, Texas. This is the fourth meeting of the season between these two teams. The Houston Colts have won the first three, one in New York and 2 here previously. Has a fastball in there for a call, strike one. It's 1-1. Here at Colt Stadium, the batting averages are flashed on the scoreboard as they are now in many major league ballparks. Ashburn with a season's batting average of 306. Again, Farrell is set to work. It's swung on and foul off to the left side and out of play. So the count is one ball and two strikes now to Richie Ashburn. The one time that these two teams met in New York, they went into extra innings. And in 11 innings, the Houston Colt 45s won it by a score of 5-2 on Budden's 11th inning home run. Here's the swing and a miss, strike three. Struck him out. So Richie Ashburn is out swinging. One away for the New York Mets. And Elio Chacon is coming up, the man who has been playing the shortstop position like a vacuum cleaner of late, batting number two in the batting order for manager Casey Stengel's Mets. Incidentally, the mosquitoes are out in great number this evening, and manager Casey Stengel came onto the playing field tonight with a can of insect repellent in each hand and promptly sat down in the dugout and went to work with the spray. Here's the pitch to Elio Chacon. It's high and tight for ball one. And now Farrell lobs the ball in as umpire Paul Pryor behind the plate takes a look at it and puts it back in play. Farrell has a record of 4 victories and 5 losses thus far this season. Last year with the Los Angeles Dodgers, Farrell was 8-7 with the Phillies and Dodgers. This one is popped up back of the plate. Catcher Merritt Renew turns but does not come back as it's in the stands and out of play. 1-1 to Elio Chacon. For Farrell, his 9th start of the season, his 19th appearance for the 45s. He is 28 years old, and the last complete game pitched by Farrell was against the Mets right here on May 22nd when he defeated the Mets 3-2, beat Jay Hook in that ballgame. Pitch goes high. It's 2-1. Chacon, a right-hand batter. Cookie Lavagetta coaching at first, and Sally Hemus around at third as usual for the Mets. Here's a swing and a ground ball to third. It's taken there by Aspromani. Throws on to first in time to Larker. And Elio Chacon has grounded out. Bob Aspromani to Norm Larker, third to first. Two away, nobody on. And Cliff Cook is coming up. Cliff Cook, with a season's batting average of .250, has 2 home runs. The third baseman, big right-hand power hitter. The New York Mets coming here directly from Chicago. They left Chicago this morning. Arrived here about noon today. There's a pitch low and away for ball one. The Mets, of course, took the series from the Chicago Cubs, winning 3 of 5. 5 games played there in 3 days. Here's a pitch to Cook. A swing and a miss. It's 1-1. Frank Thomas swinging the bats in the on-deck circle now for the New York Mets. The 1-1 pitch to Cook goes high for a ball. Before the ball game, we were talking to manager Harry Kraft of the Colt 45s, and he was saying the competition can't be much closer than it's been between these two clubs on the field. 5-2 in extra innings, 3-2 and 3-2, the scores of the 3 previous games. Yes. Swing and a miss. 2-2 now to Cliff Cook with 2 men out and nobody on base. And that's batting here in the top half of the first inning. Jim Busby out there in center field for the Colt 45s. He started the season as a coach and is now on the active player list for the Colt 45s. There's a swing and a foul ball off to the right side, out of play, into the stands. The stands here at Colt Stadium, of course, are open, no roof, and they are multicolored, bright colors decorating the various sections, various shades of green and red and pink. Dick Farrell looking in to catch a Merritt Renew for a sign. Has it now. He goes into the windup. Here's the pitch to Cliff Cook. Swung on and missed, strike three. Struck him out. So Farrell gets 2 strikeouts here in the first inning as the Mets are out in order in the top of the first with no runs on, no hits, no errors, and nobody left. And at the end of one half inning of play in Houston, Texas, the score is the New York Mets nothing and the Houston Colt 45s coming up nothing. Going through the rule books the other day, we dug up a Ryan Gold riddle for all of you baseball fans. Now, you may know that when a base runner is hit by a batted ball, the batter automatically gets credit for a hit, and the runner, of course, is automatically out. But who gets credit for the put out? Think about that one. Well, if you know your baseball, as so very many of you do, of course, you know that the fielder nearest the runner gets credit for the put out. And if you know your beer, as so very many of you do, you'll surely know this. 2 little words, extra dry, tell you why Rheingold has a taste no other beer can match. They tell you that Rheingold is brewed the long, slow, costly way for a taste that's brisk and bright and clean, clear through. But why not find that out for yourself? Enjoy a cool, refreshing glass of Rheingold extra dry tonight, along with this game. The And now we'll be going to the bottom half of the first inning. Jim Busby, Joey Amalfitano, and Jim Pendleton will be coming up for the Houston Colt 45. Jim Busby has been up only two times this season. He had one base hit, so Busby has a batting average of 500. He played for Paul Richards in Chicago with the White Sox when Richards managed there, and he played for Richards in Baltimore. He was an all-around athlete at Texas Christian University in Fort Worth during his undergraduate days. He's a right-hand batter, and Al Jackson is into the windup, and here's the pitch. It swung on and has a fly ball to right field. Jim Hickman is coming on. He's underneath waiting, and Jim Hickman makes the catch. So Busby swinging on the first ball pitch as flat out to right, and that will bring up Joey Amalfitano. Amalfitano's batting 203. Signed initially as a bonus player with the then New York Giants. He's a right-hand batter. Defensively around the infield, the Mets have Marv Thornberry at first base, Charlie Neal at second, Elio Chacon at short, and Cliff Cook at third. And here is the pitch to Amalfitano. It's in there for a call, strike one. In the outfield, the Mets have Frank Thomas in left, Richie Ashburn in center, and Jim Hickman in right. Sammy Taylor is the catcher, and Al Jackson is the pitcher. Jackson, of course, is a native Texan, born in Waco. Pitches inside for ball. It's one and one. Manager Harry Kraft of the Colt 45s was saying before the ballgame he had a lot of respect for Al Jackson, remembering him from his days in the Pittsburgh organization in Columbus last season. Here's a swing and a drive deep to center field. Ashburn going back, but this one is over him, and it's going all the way to the wall. Rounding second and digging for third is Amalfitano. The relay throw, and he is out at third base as Elio Chacon was the relay man. Elio Chacon again with a throw right on the money at third. The tag made by Cliff Cook. So the play went 8-6-5 if you're scoring. Elio Chacon again was the man out there to take the relay out in short center, and he cut it loose. So credit Amalfitano with a double and went all the way to the wall. And he went out 8-6-3. Two men out, nobody on, and Jim Pendleton is at the plate. Jim Pendleton's a big right-hand batter. Batting number three in the batting order here with a 275 batting average. Left-hander Al Jackson with a pitch low for ball one. Elio Chacon, of course, yesterday cut down Lou Brock at third base on a similar play. Pitches in there for a call strike. He cut that throw loose to Cook yesterday down low and on one hop, and Cook put it right on him just as he did that one. Elio Chacon causing a lot of conversation around the National League with his play these days at shortstop. Pitches low for a ball. Two balls and one strike. Down on the field before the ball game, we ran into a baseball writer from one of the Houston papers, and the first thing he wanted to know is, where's Elio Chacon? He wanted to talk to Chacon. Well, he won't get a lot of conversation from Elio, but if you watch him, you'll see a lot of baseball played at shortstop. Here's the pitch. It's outside for a ball. It's 3-1. Swinging a ground ball, going to shortstop. Chacon on the run, throws, and he's out. Elio Chacon taking it, whipping it over on the run, and Jim Pendleton has grounded out from short to first and in the bottom half of the first inning. The Houston Colt 45 got no runs on one hit, the double by Amalfitano, on which he was thrown out at third. No errors and nobody left. At the end of one full inning of play in Houston, Texas, the score is the Mets nothing and the Colt 45 nothing. New York Mets will be playing four consecutive night games here against the Colt 45s, and then they'll be coming home to the Polo Grounds on Friday night against the Chicago Cubs, Saturday afternoon against the Chicago Cubs, Ladies' Day and Camera Day, and then a Sunday doubleheader, Father's Day, at the Polo Grounds. So if you're looking around for something to do for Dad, take him out to the ballpark on Sunday for the doubleheader between the Cubs and the New York Mets. They had as much excitement at Wrigley Field yesterday in a doubleheader between those teams as you'd care to see on a baseball diamond. Looking at scores, the Pittsburgh Pirates today defeated the Chicago Cubs by a score of 6-1. The winner was Gibbon and the loser was Cardwell. Stewart had two home runs in the ballgame. San Francisco Giants and the Cincinnati Reds were postponed because of rain. Philadelphia Phillies are in St. Louis at the end of 2.5. The Phils lead the Cardinals by a score of 2-1. McLeish started for the Phils. Hamilton in the third. Kurt Summons is going for St. Louis. Los Angeles and Milwaukee not scheduled. In the American League, a day game, the Cleveland Indians defeated Boston, shut them out 10-0. Perry was the winner and Wilson was the loser. Kirkland had a homer and so did Phillips. Going to the bottom half of the ninth inning, the Baltimore Orioles now lead the New York Yankees by a score of 5-3. Roberts started for Baltimore, Barber in the eighth. Daly started for New York, Coates in the eighth. Landreth has homered for Baltimore, Berra has homered for the Yankees, and Gentile has homered for Baltimore. Those are the only games scheduled in the American League. So that's how the action is going elsewhere. Right here, nothing as we go to the top half of the second inning, and Frank Thomas is up for the Mets on his 33rd birthday. Facing right-hander Dick Farrell. Swing and a miss. Strike one count to Frank. Born in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 33 years ago today. Cleanup batter for the New York Mets watches low and away. For a ball, it's 1-1. Here's a pitch swung on. It's a ground ball taken a deep short, and it's off the shins of Bob Lillis and going out into short, left center field. Thomas is on at first. Lillis went into the hole, had the ball squared, and it was off his shins and rebounded all out into short left center field. So Thomas is on at first base. And that will bring up Marv Thornberry, a left-hand batter. Marv Thornberry has been hitting the ball well of late for the New York Mets. He has 6 hits in his last 12 official times at bat. He watches low for ball. He also has collected 2 walks during that stretch. Time call for the moment as umpire Paul Pryor asks for the ball, looks at it, and he's going to put another one in play. Frank Thomas gets a base hit on that smash to shortstop. Frank Thomas gets the first Met base hit of the evening. Off pitcher Dick Farrell. He leads it first now. The pitch to Thornberry, taken high for ball. It's 2-0. Farrell is into the stretch. Thomas leads at first base. And the pitch is taken high. It is out 3-0 now to Marv Thornberry. Dick Farrell pitching tonight for the Colt 45s, opening up this series. Last Thursday, he went 8 innings against the Milwaukee Braves. He gave up 2 runs on 11 hits in the 8 innings and struck out 8 before he was removed for a pinch hitter. Colts went on to win the game in the ninth by a score of 3-2. Pitch is in there for a call strike. It's 3-1 now to Marv Thornberry. And now the official scorer has changed his mind and has given an error to Lillis on the smash by Frank Thomas. So make it an error, and the Mets still do not have a hit off Dick Farrell. Make that an error charged against Lillis. Swing and a miss by Thornberry. The count is out to 3-2 now. With nobody out and Frank Thomas, the base runner at first. Charlie Neal is in the on-deck circle for the Mets. Farrell's into the stretch. Pitch swung out and missed. Strike 3. Struck him out. Thomas holding at first base. That is strikeout number 3 for Dick Farrell. And we'll bring up Charlie Neal. Charlie Neal, of course, a native Texan from Longview.
Charlie Neal.
Round town here in Houston this afternoon, they were still talking about the tremendous crowd that turned out for the big doubleheader with the Dodgers yesterday. Biggest crowd in the history of the Houston Colt 45s. More than 33,000, actually, the paid attendance, 30,027. Biggest crowd of the year. Pitch is high for a ball. 1-0. And as Ralph kind of pointed out, the Colt 45s already have drawn more than 500,000, and the season's just about one-third gone. Ball one count to Charlie Neal. Here's a fly ball to center. Coming in is Jim Busby. Going out is Ralph Patano. They collide. The ball falls away, and both runners are safe as Thomas goes to second and Neal's on at first. Ralph Patano and Jim Busby colliding on the pop to short center field. Busby coming straight in, and Ralph Patano going out. Ran together. The ball dropped away. So the Mets now have runners at first and second, and Sammy Taylor is coming up, and that scored as a base hit for Charlie Neal. score that one as a base hit for Charlie Neal. And that becomes the first Met base hit. Sammy Taylor batting number 7 in the batting order, left-hand batter. Dick Farrell now looking in for a sign from Merritt Renew. Goes into the stretch. Runners leading at first and second. The pitch to Sammy Taylor. In there for a call, strike one. All power of the ump behind the plate. Augie Donatelli is at first. Frank Sicori is at second. And Tony Vinson is at third. Donatelli, of course, is the senior umpire in this crew working the ballgame tonight. Jim Hickman is now on deck for the Mets. One man out. Again, Farrell is set to work. Pitch is inside. 1-1 now to Sammy Taylor. At Yankee Stadium in New York, it's all over. The Baltimore Orioles have defeated the New York Yankees by a score of 5-3. For Baltimore, 5 runs, 8 hits, no errors. For the Yankees, 3 runs, 9 hits, no errors. Winning pitcher, Robin Roberts, with a victory over the Yankees. And Bud Daly takes the loss. Here's a swing and a one-hopper to Amalfitano. Flips over to Lilly. He's out there. The throw to first. He's out there. Double play. A double play on the drive. A one-hopper off the bat of Sammy Taylor to Joey Amalfitano. He flipped it over to Bob Lilly and on to Norm Larker for a 4-6-3 double play. And in the top half of the second inning, the Mets are out with no runs on one hit. There was one error and one man left on base. And so at the end of 1 1/2 innings of play in Houston, Texas, the score is the New York Mets nothing and the Houston Colts 45s nothing. Well, folks, the Mets may be New York's brand new team, but they've got a few famous New York names going for them. New York baseball fans certainly are familiar with many of the well-known names from the past. And what about Rheingold Beer? Now, there's a famous New York name, Rheingold, the largest selling beer in town year after year after year. Why is Rheingold so popular? Because it's more refreshing, naturally. And why is it more naturally refreshing? Because it's dry. That's right. Dry tells you why Rheingold has a taste all its own. It tells you that Rheingold is brewed the long, slow, costly way to taste brisk and bright and clean, clear through. Why not try a glass of Rheingold along with this game and see that there is a difference? A difference you can really taste. You'll join the millions who already say, my beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. We'll be going down to the bottom half of the second inning, and the Colt 45s will send up Norm Larker, Carl Warwick, and Merritt Renew. Norm Larker has hit safely in 11 straight ball games for the Houston Colt 45s, has the longest consecutive game hitting streak of any of the ball players in the lineup right now. Incidentally, Roman Mejias of the Colt 45s injured his shoulder yesterday, crashing into the right field wall. Here's a pitch taken high for ball one. He was trying to field a drive off the bat of John Roseborough, crashed into the wall in the first game of yesterday's doubleheader. He did play the second game simply because he had a consecutive game hitting streak of 16 going, but it was broken in the second game. Here is a one-hopper to Charlie Neal at second. Up with it, he throws over to Thornberry in time, and Norm Larker is out. One away. Nobody on, and that will bring up Carl Warwick. Warwick tonight is playing left field with Jim Busby in center. Mejias is expected to be out for several days. He is in uniform. He said he was bothered a little bit with his swing in the second game yesterday. The shoulder prevented his getting the batter on in a level arc. Left-hander Al Jackson with the pitch. Misses high for ball one to Carl Warwick. He's right-hand batter. Throws left, bats right. Warwick, of course, came to the Houston Colt 45s from the St. Louis Cardinals in the deal that sent pitcher Bobby Shantz to St. Louis. Pitch is in there for a call strike. Warwick had come to the Cardinals from the Los Angeles Dodgers. That was in a deal that sent Darryl Spencer to the Dodgers last season. Here's a 1-1 pitch to Warwick. Let a pitch, and it's lined in the left field for a base hit. Frank Thomas over, up with it, fires it back in, and Carl Warwick gets the second hit for the Colt 45s this evening off Al Jackson. With one man out, Merritt Renew is coming up. This is the young catcher that the Colt 45s are so very high on. Hal Smith, of course, is seeing lots of action behind the plate for the Colt 45s also. But this is the young man they think is going to develop into one of the very fine receivers. Merritt Renew, a left-hand batter. Pitch goes high for a ball. Elio Chacon coming into tonight's ball game at shortstop for the Mets had handled his last 72 chances without an error. Here's a swing and a ground ball to the right side. Taken by Thornberry on the bag. He's out. The throw to second. He'll have to tag him. He does, and he's out. Chacon put it on him. So a double play is effected there on the ground ball right to the bag. Thornberry stepped on the bag, which took off the force, and then threw on to Chacon in time to make the tag on Warwick. And so the Houston Colt 45s are out in the bottom half of the second inning with no runs on one hit, no errors, and nobody left. So at the end of two complete innings of play, the score is the New York Mets nothing and the Houston Colt 45s nothing. Keep in mind, if you're marking baseball dates on your baseball calendar, July 14th, that's an easy date to remember, and it's Old Timers Day at the Polo Grounds in New York, and the theme of the Old Timers Day will be the 1951 playoff series between the then New York Giants and the then Brooklyn Dodgers for the National League pennant. One of the most exciting playoffs in baseball history. And, of course, the regular game that day will be the Los Angeles Dodgers. So Duke Snider will be there, and Leo DeRocher will be there with the Dodgers. He managed the Giants, of course, in that playoff series. And Big Jim Hearn's going to be on hand, Jackie Robinson, Bobby Thompson, Ralph Branca. So mark that date on your calendar, July 14th, the Polo Grounds Old Timers Day. And then the game to follow, the New York Mets and the Los Angeles Dodgers. We'll be going here to the top half of the third inning in a scoreless ball game, the opening game of a four-game series between these two teams, played here at Colt Stadium, the temporary stadium that was constructed in something like 6 months when Major League Baseball became a reality for Houston, Texas. And right now, as we go to the third inning, coming in here is Bob Murphy.
Thank you very much, Lindsay. Jim Hickman will lead off in the top half of the third inning. You know, Lindsay, the old-timers game on the 14th of July, this game taking place 11 years since 1951. Most of those fellas are going to be still in real good shape. Ball one outside. Jim Hickman batting at 272. The five-game series in Chicago was a good series for Jim Hickman. Big Turk Farrell winds and pitches. He lays off of it. It's outside. Ball two, 2-0. Al Jackson will be hitting next. Out on the on-deck circle, Richie Ashburn. Now the 2-0 delivery. Bounced foul. Just got a piece of that one. Coming straight back in the count, 2-1. Absolutely no covering at all in the temporary stadium here in Houston. Now the 2-1 delivery. Foul ball hit past third. Going down the left field line and out of play. So the count is even now at 2-2 on Jim Hickman. It's easy to see how it was a pretty hot afternoon here in Houston yesterday with the temperature up around 92 degrees and no covering. Now the 2-2 delivery. It's a breaking ball over on the outside corner for a call strike, and Hickman is called out. So Turk Farrell has struck out four men in 2 1/3. Mets are staying in a brand new hotel in Houston this trip, the new Sheraton Lincoln. It's been open for business only about a week. All the players were assembling down in the lobby waiting for the bus to bring them to the ballpark, and Casey came up in the middle of the crowd, looked around the hotel and said, you know, it hasn't changed much. Now the batter is Al Jackson, one out and nobody on. Pitched by Turk Farrell. Taken down around the knees, one ball and no strikes. Pitch thrown to Jackson. Al starts after it. Then he held up, and I believe he held up in time. He did. Ball two, 2-0. No score. We're in the top of the third inning.
Line drive that is caught by the shortstop, Bob Lillis, on a jumping grab. Jumping one-handed grab by Bob Lillis, the shortstop, on a hard line drive hit by Al Jackson. Two outs and nobody on. Lillis taking a base hit away from Al Jackson, and that brings up Richie Ashburn. Richie hitting at 302. Richie 0 for 1 was struck out his first time up. Inside and high, it's ball one. Foul ball back toward the crowd. This will be out of play. The big battles here tonight, as Lindsay was pointing out, is the Battle of the Mosquitoes. Last time the Mets were here in Houston, they were of no problem at all. One ball and one strike on Richie Ashburn. No score. We're in the third inning. Now the pitch by Turk Farrell. And the ball is popped up high in the air out in front of the plate. Coming in is the third baseman Aspermani, and he takes it near home plate for the out. Strong inning for right-hander Turk Farrell. Mets fail to get the ball out of the infield. No runs, no hits, no errors, none left on. And now at the end of 2.5 innings, the score. The New York Mets nothing, and the Houston Colt 45s nothing. Well, Ralph, here's our quiz coming up again. I think you probably got the answers. I think we've had this quiz before, but if I say table, you'd say...
Well, we have rehearsed it, but I'd say table anyway, if I said chair.
You would. Now you've got me completely confused. Well, let's try it this way. If I say extra, what are you going to say?
I'd say dry.
Now we're on the beam, Ralph, old boy. Now, if I say extra dry, you'd...
I'd say Rheingold beer. Rheingold extra dry beer.
Right all the way. You know, those two little words identify Rheingold beer. You see, extra dry tells you why Rheingold is beer as beer should taste. Why Rheingold is brisk and bright and clean clear through. They also tell why millions of people every day say, my beer is Rheingold the dry beer. Now, once again, Mr. Kiner, if I say open up...
Or order up fine cold Rheingold. Enjoy a tall, refreshing glass of Rheingold right now along with the game. Rheingold makes baseball just a little bit more wonderful.
How many times did Al Moore rehearse us on that one? Last half of the third inning with Bob Aspermani, the third baseman leading off against lefty Al Jackson. Pitch thrown just off the outside edge, ball one. Last time the Mets came into Houston, there were two well-pitched ball games. Houston won both games by the identical score of 3-2. In comes the pitch, a foul ball wafted back toward the crowd and out of play. One ball, one strike. The last series, beg your pardon, Jim Golden bested Dave Hillman and Wilmer Vinegar Ben Mizell in the first game. And the second game, it was Turk Farrell edging Jay Hook in a 3-2 game. Inside and low, two balls and a strike now on Bob Aspermani. At the end of four innings, the St. Louis Cardinals have come from behind. They lead the Phillies 3-2. Kurt Simmons pitching for the Redbirds. Hamilton in relief of McLeish for the Phillies. Ground ball hit down to third. It's a foul ball. Foul ball, no play. Cliff Cook trying to make the backhand play. Knocked the ball down. That ball was just foul. Aspermani hitting at 267. He was signed off the Brooklyn Sandlots by the Los Angeles Dodgers. Bob's brother, Ken, who goes by the nickname of Chip, is with the Cleveland Indians. Jackson pitches 2-2. A swing and a miss. He struck him out. One away, nobody on, and coming on to hit now is the shortstop, Bob Lillis. Bob Lillis came up with the Dodgers. The Dodgers traded him on to St. Louis in the Darryl Spencer deal. And picked up by Houston in the expansion draft. Right-hand hitter.
The game scoreless. We're in the last half of inning number three. Little Al Jackson winds and pitches. Right over, a called strike on the outside corner. Jackson has been pitching very well. He pitched a strong game his last start in Philadelphia. Here's the pitch on the way, a let-up, hit foul back toward the home dugout behind the third baseline. So the count is strike two. Sammy Taylor crossed behind the plate. Now Jackson cranks up the two-strike pitch, a ground ball hit to short. Elio Chacon takes the knee-high hop, strides and throws. In time, he has him by two running strides. On the plane ride coming down from Chicago today, Casey was really talking about the outstanding shortstop play of Elio Chacon, and in particular, the tremendous throws that Elio has been making. Now, Turk Farrell gets a hand as he comes out to hit. He made a relay throw in that game yesterday that covered ground about as fast as any throw you will see in a long, long time in throwing out Lou Brock at third as he tried for a triple. And he made an amazingly strong throw in this game tonight to get Joey Amalfitano after Amalfitano hit a long drive over the head of Richie Ashburn. Turk Farrell up, swing and a miss, strike one. And Elio has been making that difficult play that a shortstop has to make exceptionally well. The play where you have to come running in at full speed on a slow grounder, glove hand the ball and kind of skip and throw. Breaking ball over, a call strike. Two strikes now on Turk Farrell. Elio, a flashy little guy who has really been playing a lot of shortstop. The thing about Elio, too, is that he has the stamina. He's strong. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Al Jackson fanning Turk Farrell. A 1-2-3 inning for left-hander Al Jackson. No runs, no hits, no errors, none left on. So at the end of three, the score here at Colt Stadium in Houston, Texas, the New York Mets nothing and the Houston Colt 45s nothing. Homestand will be opening for the New York Mets this Friday night. Charlie Metro and the Chicago Cubs come in. It'll be a four-game series over the weekend, Friday night, Saturday, the Ladies' Day game, and the doubleheader on Sunday. Then Bertie Tebbets with the Milwaukee Braves coming in for a four-game series. That series will be Monday night, Tuesday night, and a doubleheader on Wednesday night. An open date on Thursday, and then the same Houston Colt 45s, managed by Harry Kraft, will be coming in for a four-game weekend series. So that...
We pause now for station identification.
This is WGY Schenectady, where you can hear all the games of the New York Mets. For baseball,
ABC,
for the best
New
of music,
York's
for comprehensive, reliable news reporting, stay tuned to WGY.
Remember, too, the ticket reservations may be made at all Howard closed doors in the greater New York area. Speaking of the Howard closed doors in the greater New York area, all the members of the New York Mets ball club are very nattily attired in their blue sports coats. That's quite a brilliant color of blue. The Houston ball club, when they're traveling, really carries the Texas brand. They wear the big 10-gallon hats and bright jackets. The Phillies got two in the top of the fifth inning. They now lead the Cardinals 4-3 at the end of four and a half. The Cardinals, on the booming bat of Stan Musial, are riding a seven-game winning streak. Elio Chacon takes the first pitch in there for a call strike. Elio hitting at 258. Big Turk Farrell winds and pitches. Breaking ball outside, one ball and one strike. Turk Farrell is from Brookline, Massachusetts. Big, strong right-hander delivers. Fastball over. He tried to bunt the ball, 1-2. Casey has been working with Chacon a great deal to try and get him to bunt more. Elio has real good running speed. And particularly against the big pitchers on the mound, the fellows who are very large in size and don't cover ground quite as well, he'd like to see Elio try to bunt his way on a little bit more. Nobody on, nobody out. Top of the fourth inning. Breaking ball in the dirt. 2-2 now on Elio Chacon.
2-2 delivery. Strike three called, and Chacon is caught looking on a good knee-high pitch by Turk Farrell as he racks up strikeout number five. Well, you know, my beer is Rheingold, the dry beer. How about you? Just about enough time to open up or order up a Rheingold before Cliff Cook comes up to hit. Cliff 0 for 1, struck out by Farrell his first time up. He tried to hold up on a breaking ball, but the pitch is in there for a call strike. Frank Thomas, the on-deck batter. Swing and a miss on a high, hard one. Now Turk Farrell, out in front on the count, two strikes to Cliff Cook. Farrell out of his windup, delivers, swing and a miss. He struck him out. He threw the fast one right by him. So Turk Farrell, off to a blazing start in this game, now has struck out 6 men in 3 2/3 innings.
At bat, number 25, Frank Thomas.
Two outs, nobody on in the top of the fourth inning. The hitter is Frank Thomas. Pitch to Frank. Knee-high strike on a fastball. Nothing that Frank would like better than to celebrate his 33rd birthday by hitting one out of the ballpark. He holds up on the swing. It's up high. One ball, one strike. The 1-1 pitch. A drive in the air to deep center field. Racing back goes Busby. Way back he reaches up. He can't get it. It's over his head for a base hit. Thomas is going into second base, standing up with a long double. Long line drive hit over the head of Jim Busby and bouncing up against the center field wall, 420 feet away. There is the second hit off Turk Farrell, and it brings up Marv Thornberry.